FT, can we please talk about the footy?
Let's do it.
All right, now, Queensland.
Made a few changes.
Yes.
This is very strange territory.
Feels good, yeah.
I'm nervous
because a lot of these players are probably players that we said should have been in the team game one.
When we threw the changes, we know that Slater will be playing fullback. Darius moves to probably left centre. And what else you got?
With centre, that'd be Justin O'Neill gone.
Yeah.
Anthony Milford injury. Injured or not, obviously Jonathan Thurston was coming back in fit. Sam Thaiday about to reach his 30th game.
His birthday dropped. You know,
Was that his birthday? Yeah,
it was his
birthday. Sorry, Sammy. Nate Miles dropped. Jacob Lilliman dropped. Aiden Guerra dropped. So a lot of names that we were expecting. A lot of the older players that probably you would say had no real impact. Coming in for them, we've got young Cohen Hess. Come off the bench. Got Gavin Cooper, who will start. They'll probably move Papali around to replace, from where he was to replace Nate Miles.
Yeah, so Papali will play front row.
Jared Wallace got off his shoulder charge, 1 week suspension. So he's made the team. And the Stormy that everyone's talking about, Tim Glasby.
The no-name.
The Daily Telegraph absolutely rinsed. And now the whole Queensland side want to kill us because of one article.
Laurie didn't write it.
The biggest thing for me, Corey Oates.
Had a great game one.
Replaced with Valentine Holmes. Game one, you would have said, if they pick Valentine Holmes instead of Corey Oates, that makes sense. Just straight up. Game one has happened. Corey Oates, one of the top three or four players, scores their only try, dropped.
That doesn't make any sense for me. The only explanation I can give is that Queensland do their loyalty thing, gave last year's team a chance to replicate their success.
Yep.
And then they say, all right, well, you didn't do the job, so I'm going to pick the team I want. Pick the team that is based entirely on form, rather than on loyalty and based on last year's success. I would still have Valentine Holmes in my 17.
Can understand the others. They didn't perform. Just like, I feel Corey Oates performed.
He's been stitched up here.
But then, like, as everyone's saying, Val is the Australian wing. If he was picked game one, no one would have batted an eyelid. When asked about it in the press conference, Kevy Walters said that Corey Oates is a manufactured winger. Whereas Val Holmes is an out and out.
Back to the no-name Tim Glasby. He plays for the Melbourne Storm, and there's been a lot of suggestions that Cameron Smith has had an input into how he wants the team to go. Tell me what you think of this. My theory is that Queensland picked their usual power forwards, who are no longer that powerful and could not get the job done through that power running game. Now they've picked a forward pack that knows how to wrestle and knows how to technically slow down the play of the ball. And basically, they're not trying to run over the top of New South Wales anymore. They're not trying to dominate them in defence. They're trying to wrestle them and slow down the play of the ball enough that Mitchell Pearce and all his friends in the back line can't get a roll on and have the success they have. Because we know that Jonathan Thurston can win a game off the back foot. They don't need to dominate in the forward.
Easy.
Can Mitchell Pearce win a game off the back foot? I'm not so sure. So it's a very clever move. But anyway, that's my theory.
I definitely agree.
Right.
Their game was steamrollers, have space. And like as you said, Jonathan Thurston on the back foot's good. When he had space, twice was good. Then we saw Andrew Fifita go, okay, I want to make 10 metres here now. And he made 10 metres. So I think everyone's not heard about him. Defensively, really sound. So I think it might not seem attacking. He's impacting in attack as much. But yeah, as you said, slow the play the balls down, not miss tackles. Like the forwards from Queensland missed a whopping number of tackles game one.
Yeah.
So I think that's what they're going for.
What do you think about Will Chambers moving to the right centre to play across against Jared Hayne?
Nightmares already.
I know. Far out. Oh, I remember watching the Melbourne Titans game and Chambers just tore him up. And that is, we've got Thurston and Chambers running on the right side and with Cooper Cronk as well. And Slater coming in. Hayne's going to have no idea who to tackle. He's going to be tackling air.
Queensland are saying that they're thinking of making the move defensively because O'Neill was caught out a number of times from Jared Hayne. I think they're actually not that scared by Hayne and they know that for them, it's a good move. It's not a reaction. Like, it's a good move for them.
Three tries down there.
I can already see Chambers just straight arm palm onto Hayne and just steamroll. So it does make me nervous. But go the Blues.
Go the Blues. Let's talk about round 14. So we had the Sharks lost 13 points to the Storm, 18 points.
Thursday night.
It was a very good game at Shark Park. Grand final rematch, all that sort of excitement. I really hope this is the grand final again.
Although now Sharks are sitting third, I think from watching that game, you can tell that they're the two best teams.
I think so too. Without Cooper Cronk, they still managed to win the bloody Melbourne Storm. So Cameron Smith single-handedly won in that game.
That first 15 minutes by Cameron Smith, two tries after 10 or so minutes. Storm had completed 10 from 10. Sharks had completed 2 from 2. Just had no ball. And that is all down to Cameron Smith. Kicked a 40-20, doing the right passes out of dummy half. He set up the two tries.
Oh yeah, he kept hitting the first runner, and basically they would run at Wade Graham. And then the next pass would go to a runner running straight at Jaden Brayley, who's 60 kilos dripping wet. And then the only person he's got with him is James Maloney, who's a wasted space in defence. So they scored two tries over poor Jaden Brayley.
He'd sell the longer ball, so you'd see James Maloney rush out of defence, and then it's just Jaden Brayley by himself, and you can't. He's not going to win that. If we see other teams starting to try exploit that, like Storm did, I think that might be an issue for Sharks.
And their goal line defence has been really
good. That being said, they scored the two tries, and then Sharks came back.
They did.
So it looked like they were just going to keep exploiting that the whole night, but then Sharks didn't panic like they haven't all year, came back within it. If the first half was 10 minutes longer, there would have been another try to Sharks. They just got up in Melbourne's face, started to dominate Melbourne.
They did, and Maloney's cool as a cucumber field goal was pretty fantastic. Off an offload, everyone was thinking field goal, and then as soon as one of the props got the ball and took a hit up, everyone forgot about it for a second. Offload back to James Maloney, quick field goal.
It wasn't what the defence were thinking, it wasn't what the Sharks were thinking, but James Maloney had the sense to go, all right, just knock it over. And it was a great play, but then Cameron Smith, once again, with the perfect short kick out.
Yeah, how good was that? And short kick off, Slater gets the ball, runs this hectic line, and then just quick short pass. I mean, Slater is just unstoppable sometimes, isn't he?
My question to you is, Storm and never, like besides one or two games a year, never get to 5 minutes to go and are down or need to do a short kickoff. How is Cameron Smith that good when he does like two a year?
I don't think I've ever seen him do one. He's never had any reason to.
No, they're never in that position, but then gets called upon and...
Well, they should do short kickoffs all the time like Union do. I mean, it's a 50-50 proposition. And you get the ball on the 40.
Well, there is one of the teams, I think it might be Ipswich in the Queensland Cup.
Yeah.
They almost do them every game.
That's mad.
And they won the comp, I think, last year.
Enough about Cronulla. Manly 18, the Knights 14.
Oh.
Yeah. We were talking last week about how the poor Knights get stitched up every week and how, you know, all they have to do is start winning games and they'll start getting better decisions. But hasn't happened yet.
No.
Basically, what we're talking about is Aquila Uate. He gets the ball in the corner, dives into the corner and scores. The touch judge tells the ref that he's dropped it.
So there was Ashley Klein was the on-field referee.
Yeah.
The touch judge indicated to go up to the bunker to check. What happens with that is Ashley Klein should not hear anything from the bunker and make his decision to send it up. But in between that time, Ashley Klein going to make a decision, Jared Maxwell in the bunker has actually gone to him early, broken protocol and said, it's a try, don't bother sending it up.
Yeah.
When now that we look at the footage, Jared Maxwell did not look at it at all.
Yeah, he was watching something completely different.
Yeah, Jared Maxwell got dropped for the round, and this round he's doing 20s, I think.
Oh, right.
But I can understand Nathan Brown blowing up about this one.
Oh, how hard is it to go upstairs? I mean, they go upstairs for bloody everything.
Ashley Klein's notorious for every try sending it upstairs. I think he's the one that Jamie Sauer just loves KFC. Because he wants to see the KFC sign. He's getting the KFC sponsorship.
Biggest issue for the Knights, right? They're still paying Aquila Uate. They got rid of him because he was dropping every single ball and he couldn't catch a cold. And then they lose a game
because
he drops the ball over the line, but they still give it anyway.
That is a very good point.
Like, the Knights, like, could not get any worse.
It's another one where you could say if they'd managed to play the whole 80 minutes, it wouldn't be different and they shouldn't be relying on one referee call going against the way the good teams beat that. But for their season, one or two wins is very valuable.
Yeah, Nathan Brown's trying to bloody keep his job. All these players are trying to get re-signed. They're trying to recruit players. If they only win one game a year, they're never going to get any bloody players coming to the team.
So, yeah, the next game, Broncos versus Rabbitohs. 24 Broncos, 18 South. Broncos look like they were going to run away with it. I think they got to a 12-point lead. And then we saw Rabbitohs fight back. Ben Hunt dropped.
Dropped, yes, of course. So dropped. That was the big news.
That was the talking point.
And Benji played, and Benji had a really good game again.
Play consistent. Cody Nikorima played great. The other half, Anthony Milford, dislocated shoulder.
Yeah, that's a bit rough. That's a really bad blow for Brisbane. Do you think they'll bring back Ben Hunt, or will they play Nikorima and Benji?
Well, if they're liking this utility on the bench, I think they will bring in Hunt and either have Nikorima or Benji off the bench. Hunt was dropped for not running the ball enough, and Wayne wanted him to get the ball running a bit more. Apparently, I think he played for Ipswich. They won by 40 points or something. He ran the ball a lot, had a real impact in that. Whether that was enough, but Matt Gillette got interviewed and said, yeah, the boys want Hunt in the team. They want him to step into the team. South, that's their sixth loss in the last seven games, so that's their season over.
Wow.
They won't be making the eight. Probably their best game in the last six or so from the six.
They're not up to scratch this year. They're not up to scratch at all. They're not coming anywhere near the top teams.
Too many errors, not clean in attack. Unlucky Rabbits, I think that's his season gone.
I know. Titans 12, Warriors 34. So this stuffed up my bloody tipping.
I said I'd never tip Warriors again.
Did you tip them?
I did not tip them. I might never tip Titans again.
Yeah, I know. What's going on?
Titans beat the Sharks the week after beat Storm. And now their last couple of performances.
They can't even beat the bloody Warriors on the Gold Coast. I heard that the Warriors love the Gold Coast because New Zealanders spend so much time on the Gold Coast.
That's
like their second home.
One thing that I'm noticing, the Titans just look tired. Ash Taylor is a gun and has been carrying that team. Yeah. But the last few weeks, he's just been off. Like, I think he kicked it out on the full this game, and he hasn't done that most of the season. I reckon it's almost, they should almost consider dropping him for a game or two just to recover, like they did to Latrell Mitchell. Mind you, Latrell was a centre, not...
He's their best player, so I don't know how you could... It's not an awful idea, but it'd be hard to justify to...
Yeah. I know.
Because they're basically just saying, look, we're not going to win next week. We'd rather give him a rest.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I can't see them winning without him.
How do you sell it to the camp? Ryan Hoffman, 300 games.
Yeah, and kicked...
Congratulations.
Kicked
the final conversion.
Yeah, good on him. I like Ryan Hoffman. He's a great bloke, and he deserves 300 games. I think he's like the 27th player to achieve that, so that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive.
Put it down to luck.
Apparently, the Warriors have said, we don't want you next year now, though. Said, you feel free to look around.
Oh, good on him. Good, get out of there. It's a bloody death trap.
Go to Knights.
Go to the Knights.
Go to the Knights. Warriors, Tuivasa-Sheck, Isaac Luke.
Killing it.
Finally looking good.
How good is it? Yeah, mate, if they start doing this thing again, where middle of the year, they get me excited. Oh. I'm not falling
every
for
time.
It. I'm not
every
falling
time.
For it. But they were really good, particularly Tuivasa-Sheck.
I wouldn't say that Sean Johnson's playing good.
No.
Still.
Dropping.
Still don't think he's playing that good. It's just that now that Sheck and Luke are playing a lot better, so it's taken off Sean Johnson a bit.
The Panthers 24, the Raiders 20. So now, I've been saying for years now that Matty Moreland is the next Aaron Lockyer.
Oh, shut up.
How about that? That was good.
It pains me to say it, but congratulations, Matt Moreland. Oh, you had a fantastic game.
You did. You that don't lock it. I've been saying it for years.
That being said, mainly 4 minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah, I know. He's hollering.
But what a 4 minutes. He won them the game.
Those two little shimmy and passes that he put on
gave himself so much time and space. It actually was really smart.
He was just shifting around, and the players didn't know what to do, and then he'd keep moving. There's a hole, I'll run at this bloke, and then Tyron Peachy just on the inside, just running exactly through the biggest hole that Matt Moreland created for him.
Raiders were up by 10 with 3 minutes to go.
That's horrendous.
And then Matt Moreland stepped up. I was watching the game, cheering, going, this is just great footy. I tip Raiders, so it was annoying.
I know, me too.
Cheering that it was great footy. Looked and saw that it was Matt Moreland doing everything. Didn't know whether to cheer or get angry.
The thing that impressed me with the last play, the one that he set up for Peachy, he got destroyed the play before because he got hit with a late tackle after a pass. And he was on the ground. gets back up. I assume Cleary's calling for the ball. Moylan runs in, and first receiver again. He's screaming for the ball and gets the ball and sets up that try. Like, Cleary's sitting around going, oh, mate, you know I'm here too.
Yeah. It was a tough play by Moylan, but if you're Cleary and Moylan's putting on that clinic, when he wants the ball,
yeah, exactly.
Let him have the ball.
What do you think about Nathan Cleary? I feel like last year was better, or maybe we just had lower expectations for him. I don't think he's lived up to what I thought he'd be.
I think Panthers scoring a lot more points last year. Yeah. And a lot of that was coming off Nathan Cleary. Like, I remember, I think I was watching Nathan Cleary in his third game. Third tackle just turned around and just gave this pinpoint kick to the winger. He just walked over and scored. And I just saw that going, that experienced halfbacks can't do that.
Exactly. I feel like he was playing with a bit more, maybe more confidence. Like you said, a third tackle kick. I haven't really seen that much from him. He's just been kind of doing his job.
He's gone in his shell a little bit and just trying to be consistent. Whether that's suffocating him a bit and he's not creating as much, who knows. But with Matt Moylan in 5'8 with him, that might make a difference. Raiders have lost at least four games now by 6 points or less.
Yeah, they're four and against. I think they're coming 10th or something. And they're four and against is better than half the top eight teams.
Yeah, how can you score consistently that many points but then also concede that many points?
Because they can't win a close game. They either flog a team or they lose.
Yeah.
Like, they can't win a close game because even they've got 10 points buffer, their defense still manages to lose them the game because they play this, like, fun, carefree football, but you can't be fun and carefree in defense.
Yes, when we look at it, one talking point of this is if it wasn't for Matt Moylan at the end, I think we would have been talking about the referees. They blew 17 penalties the whole game.
That's a lot of penalties.
That is a lot of penalties. Considering a lot of the games, the penalty count's like 4-3 or 4-4. Yeah, they got a bit carried away.
Yeah, it reminds me of the comment that Ricky Stewart said. He said a referee will only blow up to 8 penalties a game or 10 penalties a game. So, you know, he might penalise the opposition once or twice. They'll keep cheating in the ruck because they know that after a while the ref will get over blowing penalties. And so maybe that had something to do with it. The fact that he's gone, all right, well, I'm going to blow every single bloody thing I see, no matter what, and see how you like it. Well, they still lost.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Ricky, your team still lost, so don't concede 10 points in 3 minutes. As a long, long Sharks fan who saw many a game lost in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I do feel for you.
Honestly, with those like Sharks fans back in the day when we were little and on the hill and stuff, I wouldn't be satisfied that they won until I got home and rewatched it.
Yes.
And saw the news. Because honestly, they could lose a game after the siren, the Sharks. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Unless I got the paper Sunday morning.
You went into a Sunday.
I wasn't there. Matt Moylan, try prove it again next week.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not convinced.
Eels, 6, the Cowboys, 32. Watch this with a Parramatta supporter. The first 20 minutes, he was like, oh, you know, right in front of the television, like sitting right in front of the television. And then after a while, he was
slowly
looking at the television at all because the Cowboys just dominated. The Eels kept trying to put shots on Thurston. Thurston gets up and goes, okay, I'm just going to set up another try. Every time you hit me, I'm going to set up another try. And they scored 32 points.
I'm getting a little bit sick of Kenny Edwards.
Why?
He's got a lot of niggle in him that I'm not 100% about.
The Eels were very average.
Corey Norman was playing.
And then Moses, and then they had, what's his name? Yeah, so Guthrie was playing centre. Oh, I would have thought that they'd go better.
Corey Norman's first game back, his kicking options were horrible. Grubber it right to, like, the winger. Like, it was putting in the bread basket every single time and wasn't creating anything. Just a bit rusty. JT wasn't rusty at all.
No, I know. But
JT's JT. No one's JT. I think Corey Norman.
JT's covered in WD-40. Everything I liked about him in the first half of the year was Norms and Gutho. You had both of them still on the team, and then they couldn't replicate it.
No.
Problem? Mitchell Moses. Waste of space. Worst player in the NRL. Needs to go. Although Sean Kennedy just got released yeah, by the Roosters. So we've got to be on the hunt for a new worst player in the NRL.
Well, Mitchell Moses, defensively,
oh,
up there with worst player.
Hopefully the Eels can improve because I'd like to see them make the eight.
Give Gutho the ball more.
I agree.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, exactly. Exactly. They'll win him before he... Tigers 18, Roosters 40. So the Tigers were competitive in the first half, I thought. And then
I find this scoreline real funny because they were within 6 or 10 at half time, I think, and they were looking all right. But the Roosters in the first half were shocking. They gave up so many errors. And even the start of the second half, they didn't look great. Makes you wonder, like, if the Roosters played really good. I can't see how they got to 40 with the amount of drop ball that they were giving.
Because they can just score at will. I mean, Latrell Mitchell was a freak. And then they've got Fergo. And in terms of attacking options, it's a joke.
How's this? Okay, how's this for a start? Roosters, 20 errors.
Wow, that's a lot of errors.
Tigers, 11. 11 errors is a big.
Yeah, it's a lot.
20 from Roosters.
Well, I thought Tui Lolohea was good.
At the start, Lolohea just goes, all right, I want to crack through this line. Little dummy, little step, breaks through, scores the first try, 6-0 Tigers are up. I was going, here we go. This could be something. At halftime,
there goes my tips.
Halftime, they were in with the chance, and then they just, Lolohea was missing in the second half.
Yeah.
They still don't have Luke Brooks. He's still injured. Tedesco can't do everything. I don't know how. I don't know where their win's going to come from. Probably against Sharks on the weekend.
I can't see anyone but Cronulla, the Storm, or the Roosters winning. And after this game, I don't know even if I could put Roosters in that category. Like, you can't, as you said, 20 errors against the Tigers. Maybe they just thought, you know, we're going to win here, and they're just not disciplined enough. But you got to smash these teams if you want to win.
Well, that's true, but Sharks almost lost to Dogs. Like, Sharks have plenty of times haven't stepped up against easy teams. They only beat Knights by 1 point.
Yeah, that's fair call.
But funny, for some of these teams, they play their best against the harder teams.
I agree. Were you happy with that sentiment, that only three teams can win the comp?
Yeah, completely agree. I can't see anyone else.
Bulldogs 16 v Dragons 2. This is the only upset of the week, but it is quite an upset. Well, firstly, yeah, Dragon supporters all over my Facebook feed having a go at Sharks for losing to Melbourne. And then their team goes and loses the Dogs. Fat one.
Very quiet on Monday night, weren't
Very
they?
Very quiet.
Very quiet. Bloody hell, on the socials.
Oh, Dragon supporters. I love the Dragons. Hate Dragon supporters.
Yeah, I can agree.
Particularly
with that.
Ones listening to this podcast.
They only scored 2 points. How did
they didn't score a try. The Dogs are a very good defensive team. I mean, all their losses have come from the fact they can't score a try to save their life. And they've got pretty staunch defence, and the Dragons really struggled to crack it, and they didn't crack. But the Dogs didn't really solve their problems for me. Because, okay, so Hopper sets up one try and cracks the defence and sets up a try. Then Leecher scores from dummy half. And then their last try was not that impressive. I think the ball fell on the ground and someone jumped on it and scored. No try came through the halves.
No.
So it wasn't like all of a sudden Moses figured out how to pass and kick. They're still the same team. They just managed to defend their way to a win. I mean, 16 points isn't great, but
there was Morris did drop one cold, but
that was baffling. Brett Morris is the safest human in the competition, and he literally dropped the ball over the line on like a perfect pass.
Get it out now before Origin.
Weird.
I'm happy with that. But a lot of people have been saying out of this game, another team would have put a lot more points on St. George. Dragons were not good.
No, they weren't good. And I, as I said, I really like the Dragons. And with Widdop back, I thought they'd really pick up from where they left off.
We're seeing a lot with when players come back from an injury. They're really taking 3 or 4 games to warm up to it. So
do you think they're coming back too soon?
I don't know. But
they're
like,
kind of like, get them out there. And they go, oh, right, you know, my knee's still dislocated, but I'll give it a go.
Yeah, they're not 100% confident. Like, Ben Hunt, he only had 2 games, I think, and he just got dropped. Gareth Widdop, he does do things that are glimpses of magic. Mm. But compared to the form that he started the season with...
He was the form player of the comp, Mary kept telling everyone. Mary got re-signed.
2 years. Congratulations,
Mary. Good on you, Mary. You deserve it. You're a legend. All right, well, that's it. So, news. You got keys to the bunker? Let's go to the bunker.
I tried.
Oh, what?
Apparently, Jared Maxwell's been having a movie marathon in there all weekend.
Watching anything but football.
Yeah, and that's why he just told Ashley Klein it's not a try.
Didn't want
to interrupt him. I think it was on Rocky 3 at that point.
Rocky 3?
Yeah.
That's so a good one. Is that the one against the Russian? No. It's
against Cohen Hess?
What?
He looks so much like Cohen.
Is it Ivan Drago? Was that
like? Yeah.
That's a great movie. Is that 3? No, that's Mr. T one.
Okay. Once Jared finishes, we'll ask
him. He's a new expert.
Anyway.
Watch the footy, Jared. Watch the footy.
Actually, in saying that, big points to the touchy. Touchy did something.
I think it was his first day.
It was his first game. Tried to do something. Complain all the time about Touchy's not making a call, not doing a forward pass or anything. He finally tries to make a call.
And they don't listen to
him. And the rest go, nah, don't worry about him. First game. We'll talk about the news on the steps of the bunker if we can't get in.
All right, let's do it.
So the big news, we knew about this already, but Gay Guy's officially gone to Souths.
Yeah, Nat Miles has
been given the flick from Manly, and so now he's starting for Melbourne this week. Yep. Not starting, he'll be on the bench, I imagine. And so I think there'll be a good move for him. I mean, he was brought into Manly to be like a boom prop and make lots of metres. Clearly, that's not his thing anymore. He's just too old, and so I think he'll go to Melbourne and be come off the bench and be more of an enforcer, just be a bit dirty and rough and add a bit of tenacity to the pack.
If anyone's going to bring the best out in him again, it's Craig Bellamy.
I agree.
He's got a history with it, so I reckon it'll be a good move. Once it'll take a few weeks for him to be in the system and to get settled, but
I think he'll only play 20, 30 minutes. I don't think...
Oh, definitely.
I don't think he's going to play big minutes, but I think... We saw last year when, during the grand final particularly, Melbourne's bench was quite poor compared to Cronulla's.
Yep.
And they struggled in that sort of just having big bodies to just throw at the opposition.
Yeah.
And now they've got another one.
Yeah, then they got tired at the end because of what Sharks were able to pull off the bench. Jordan McLean for Storm, I think, hurt his cheekbone.
Right.
So Nate Myers will be a good replacement to help out there as well.
Definitely.
Aiden Guerra,
yeah,
has apparently signed to the Knights.
I don't like that. I think the Knights are becoming desperate, and I can see why, considering no one's wanted to sign with them. But Nathan Brown said, you know what, we're only going to sign players that are improving, that are getting better and have promise. We're only going to sign players that are young. We're only going to sign players that have won a premiership and know what it takes to win a premiership. So they're going after Matt Scott. They're going after Jack Bird, and now they're signing Aiden Guerra, who's in decline. He's just been dropped from Origin. I mean,
Aiden Guerra used to be so good, and then he became the world's laziest footballer. And if you're going to be lazy under Trent Robinson, I can't see him not being lazy. That's tonight, exactly the opposite of
what they need, because what they need is someone who tries ridiculously hard to motivate these young kids that are continually losing and getting used to losing.
I think what they are trying to do with Guerra is what Warriors did with Ryan Hoffman when they signed Ryan Hoffman at the end of his career, but still just an absolute warrior. Like, Ryan Hoffman only just been dropped from Origin at that time too, I'm pretty sure. They just wanted a absolute team player, perfect role model, and who just tried his heart out every week and had that culture. Can see what they're trying to do with Guerra. I don't think he's the same as Ryan Hoffman.
100% correct.
Yeah. The other thing is, with Sean Kennedy released from his contract, where's he going to go? Now he's got a Roosters teammates at the Knights. Will the Knights try sign him again, just very reduced from their original offer?
I really hope not. But apparently, their hair follicle test he was going on about has come back negative. So that, you know, the police are people saying that the story that he was telling, that he was holding it for a friend, might be legitimate. I just don't understand why all these people are holding drugs for their friend. If you want drugs, fucking take it and put it in your pocket and then take it. Like, why do you have to give it to someone else? I just don't understand what happens in the course of drug taking that requires other people to hold your drugs.
I don't understand it. And he got charged with possession, not taking it.
Very good.
Can't argue that. All right, the test could be clear. You've still been caught in possession with it. That's
which is an illegal offence in itself.
Our good friend Jackson is listening.
Yeah.
I would love them to sign Sean Kennedy out just to laugh at him.
Yeah.
That would be phenomenal.
Just, yeah.
For the Knights themselves, he's not the right option. There was a tweet during the week. Now, I can't be sure of how valid this is. Mm. It's only allegedly in rumours at this stage.
Yeah.
But do you remember Curtis Rayner, the winger for the Bulldogs?
Yep.
Went to Western Force. Put a tweet up saying, "I'm on the bus." Which is becoming a very popular catchphrase for
the Tigers.
The Tigers.
So the Western Force are likely folding due to Super Rugby's issues.
Curtis knows something that we don't know in terms of the franchise. An outside back that can defend for Tigers would be pretty handy. That might be it for news.
All right, so then we have to talk about round 15.
Short round again, Origin. Broncos will be unhappy that they're not playing this round. With Thaiday Oates dropped.
That seems funny.
they'd finally have some players.
That's so good.
And they don't get a Friday night game.
That's fantastic.
And anyway, speaking of Friday, it's the Souths versus Titans.
Souths are unchanged. Titans are missing Hayne.
Peets. And Jared Wallace.
I'm going to go Souths then. I mean, they played well against Brisbane, but Brisbane are just too good. Titans are near untippable at this point.
Jaguars is a big loss.
And Pete's as well.
In the game at the moment, you can't win without the go forward from your props.
I agree. Okay, I'm going Souths. Unchanged. They played well last week. Hopefully they can continue.
I agree with Souths. Hopefully they bring it. Bring what they brought last week.
I think it'll be a good game. I'm seeing 20 all or something. I think it'll be close.
On Saturday, Melbourne Storm versus Cowboys.
Melbourne's missing everybody but some of the Cowboys. It's pretty much Tamalolo up against Bromwich. Whoever wins that will win. Because there's literally no other team names on those sheets that you recognise apart from those
not
two.
Not really, because what Storm
got... Storm's even missing Kronk, their no-name.
Smith,
no-name.
Slater and Tim no-name Glasby.
Oh, Munster will be there for some reason. I'm going to go for Munster up against... Oh, even Michael Morgan's out.
Michael Morgan's out.
I think I'm going to go
Melbourne. Riley Jacks isn't bad. I think I like Munster.
Yeah, I'm going Melbourne, but purely for Munster.
Adokar, Vunivalu's still there.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
you're missing Bromwich. Key player, Justin O'Neill, will be in the team for the North Queensland Cowboys. Oh, my God, what a game breaker that man is.
Just want to update you on, while speaking to Justin O'Neill, his tries for the season.
Yeah.
He's on zero.
Oh, right.
Blake Ashford is now on three.
Oh, my God.
So.
Right. And
Justin O'Neill to blow the game open, score three, and defeat the... I'm going the Storm.
I'm going the Storm.
Okay, then to the final game on Saturday, or the second game on Saturday. Cronulla versus Tigers. Cronulla is the most affected team this weekend.
Five?
With five out.
They're missing everybody. Like, their team, like Jared Beale, who last year was sitting on the bench, is now their starting fullback. Chad Townsend's still there, but he's been playing terribly. His last good game was actually when Maloney wasn't there 3 weeks ago. Probably his only good game this season. So maybe he'll step up again. Farmani Brown, best player in the NRL, will be playing 5-8 this one. I think Sharks will win because, I mean, can the Tigers win a game without Tedesco?
Woods and Tedesco. I don't... Luke Brooks will be back.
Yeah, and Tui Lola here will play 5-8, and I think he's fantastic. So
what we will see for the first time is... looking like Daniel Mortimer coming on as the interchange for his first Sharks appearance. I'm going to go Cronulla.
All right, Cronulla.
The final game of the round.
Farmani Brown, hat-trick.
Ooh, okay. Now we're getting carried away. Final game of the round. Parramatta versus St. George. St. George.
This is a punish because both teams are good and alike, but are out of touch. Frizzell would be out. Who else is out?
Josh Dugan
and Parramatta are unchanged.
Hopefully
they move Gutho to fullback.
I want to see Corey Norman have a good game. I want to see Mitchell Moses make a tackle.
We all want things, Michael. Will JDB leave Origin camp and play this game?
Yeah. Too many good plays. You got Nightingale slipping into fullback for Dugan. Nightingale's a great player. I'm going to go Dragons in a tight one.
Power was so bad. All right, I'm going Dragons, but nervously. Michael, that was it for another week. I'm very, very much looking forward to this weekend of football. Because next week, we'll have to do a very Origin-based podcast where we talk about who's going to win and everything. So I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely.
Perhaps we'll have time for the loosest unit. But Dragon out in the hope that Corey Norman or...
I would love a wildcard entry.
Oh,
New South Wales to win on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And we just got... stories from Star City. They're staying at the casino, so...
Wait, what's the story there?
I think it's contractual. Part of the sponsorship was they have to spend 4 days there.
There's no football field at the casino.
No, they're training at Leichhardt.
Oh, geez, you're going to have Robbie Farah there yelling at you and stuff.
Yeah, from the scoreboard.
From the scoreboard. Oh, that's awful. All right. Love to speak to you.
Thank you very much, Scott.